That the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And with that, for the first half of the show anyway, I have our past Attorney General. He's running for governor. Treg Taylor, how you doing, sir?
Good morning, David. Doing great. Doing great. How are things up there in Fairbanks, North Pole?
Well, they're cold.
we're cold here, man. I woke up, drove into my work, and it's -3 degrees here, and I can only imagine you guys had a really rough winter up there. If somebody needs to get a hold of Jack Frost and tell him to knock it off, man, it's mid-March, and here we are still at these temperatures.
Whoever pissed off Mother Nature, I'm going to find that person. And the city is going to kick the crap out of them.
Yeah,
it'll be a community effort. Anyway, how is it going for your race there?
Oh man, I couldn't be happier for how things are going. I'm so proud of our team. The support from Alaskans has been overwhelming. Over 90% of my donations have been Alaskans, and so that's been really, really rewarding. I do feel like a bit of weight on my shoulders as these people put their trust in you to move Alaska forward, and so I feel that weight. But man, we knocked it out of the park for that first fundraising reporting period. I don't know if you saw the reports, but
880,000 or something like that. You have
880,000. Yeah, we're knocking at a million right now, and by far, I raised the most from Alaskans. No other candidate even came close. And really, if you look at the numbers, there's really only two candidates right now that have sufficient funds to actually run a campaign that's going to carry the message to every Alaskan. So I'm proud to be one of those candidates. And what we're finding, though, is as I travel the state and I talk about my vision for Alaska, man, it really resonates. And so we continue to build momentum, with new supporters, and we continue to build on their successes. So I couldn't be more proud. I'm proud of my record as Attorney General. I think that's a big part of this. People know who I am. They know what I fought for. They know I fought crime. They know I fought Biden for the.
Every morning you'd wake up every 3 weeks. This is what I calculated. Every 3 weeks you woke up to a new executive order shutting down Alaska, and you were front and center on it.
Front and center, and we did great. I mean, our record in the courts is great. And then, when the Trump administration came in, working with him even before he got into office, I think I've told your listeners before, I helped draft that executive order, unleashing Alaska's extraordinary resource potential, and then helped execute that. And that's a wish list of every project in the state that we've been wishing for 40 years. And here now we have the full weight of the federal government pushing it. And that's why it's so vital we get the next governor who can just run with those projects, knows those projects in and out because he's litigated all those projects. And so that's the message that's been a winning message for us,
That's great. Now, one of the things that seems like it's come out of this election is everyone is finally focusing on trawling. It's become a big issue. What are your thoughts on that?
No, it's a big issue. I was just thinking back to, the difference between my younger kids and older kids is I used to go fish for kings with my older kids, and they've all caught kings. And my younger kids, they haven't even got a whiff of a king, not even allowed to fish for them. So it's a big deal, and I think people are seeing it. We're seeing it in Yukon, Kuskokwim. They're trying to figure out what's causing those declines. I think Alaskans rightly are concerned, so my stance is on the trawling issue is pretty clear. It's Alaska fish belong to Alaskans first, right? And it's the same fish for game, right? It's Alaska's game. It belongs to Alaskans first. And so I've pledged to not accept funds from the trawl fleet operation. I think we absolutely have to end those practices that are destroying habitat. And I think we have a lot of work. You know, the very small portion is a state fishery. It's like 1%. But the governor has an outsized a voice on the Fishery Management Council. And so we need a unified voice for Alaska that believes Alaska fish belong to Alaska's first on that council. And then I think there's a few other things that we can do. There's some low-hanging fruit. Like, we just need to enforce existing law. A lot of times we don't have the mechanisms in place to do that. And then the last part of it, which is a real threat, is that we've got to stand up to the Russian and Chinese fleets that are trying to label their foreign salmon as Alaskan. That's absolutely gutting some of our markets. And so it is a big deal. And I think people are rightly concerned, and they're trying to figure out who's to blame for it.
Combination of everything. A plane crash doesn't crash because of one item.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So I think we take precautions where we need to, and if we're destroying habitat, we need to end those practices. And I've got a whole lot of ideas on how to change the runs that we're seeing in the Kuskokwim and the Yukon and the Kenai and some of these major rivers that we all depend on. I'm excited to lean into that issue and that problem.
You know, you're not the Attorney General, but I'm sure you loved this when you saw it come out with the Department of Interior's ruling regarding hunting on federal preserves.
Yeah, that was that's a big one.
Surprisingly, but not surprisingly.
Yeah, no, that's one close to my heart, because I litigated that as the Attorney General. We lost in the courts. I think the courts got it wrong.
Yeah.
Clearly,
Trump got it right.
Trump got it right. And so that was another one of those issues that he pointed out, that, you know, and when we drafted that executive order unleashing Alaska's extraordinary resource potential, this was absolutely one of those things. And people might know this issue more as the Kenai rule. Basically, the state is supposed to be in charge of fish and game management in Alaska, whether it's
navigable waterways. Yeah. Navigable waterways. Yeah.
Waterways, yeah. Submerged lands. Yeah. The whole Sturgeon cases, two lines of cases that John Sturgeon so heroically won on behalf of the state of Alaska. And of course, we weighed in on those issues too. But basically, it's the state should determine the methods and means of taking game in the state. And basically, the on the Kenai Preserve in particular, they went in and said, "Hey, you can't bear bait, you can't do all these different things that we felt were needed in order to control predator population with using Alaskan hunters." And so this is just one of those other promises that Trump has kept in that order. I mean, I can just rattle them off. Like, Ambler Road rights away is another one that he kept in that executive order. King Cove Road Agreement, oil and gas lease sales in Anwar and Cook Inlet, and then which one am I forgetting? Oh, Alaska Vietnam Veterans land allotment.
Yeah,
they're all things that he has kept his promises on. You know, the other big one that's in that executive order is this Alaska gas line project, which continues to be very exciting to watch.
Yeah, we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we'll head into that one, okay?
All right, sounds great. Thanks, Dave.
Yep, Fairbanks, you're listening to KFAR Radio. I have past Attorney General Craig Taylor on the radio with me, and we'll be back after these messages.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
It's almost time for the 80th running of the Lotto Alaska Open North American Sled Dog Championships. This premier event draws dog teams from all over the world. This year's race is dedicated to past champion Harris Dunlap. The race runs March 20th through the 22nd, with teams starting and finishing at the Mushers Hall on Farmers Loop Road. Photographers are welcome, just please stay off the trails and out of the way of the dog teams. The Lotto Alaska Open North American Sled Dog Championships. Don't miss it.
We love our cars.
It's kind of a squeak, squeak sound.
Yeah, the engine makes a tick, tick, tick noise.
It's got no heat, and it's winter.
It goes bump, bump, bam.
It seems to be leaking something.
Problems we've all had with our cars. So get it to Pearson Auto with their state-of-the-art facility. They'll quickly diagnose the problem and get your rig humming along again. Only from Pearson Auto, off the Rich near North Pole and in West Fairbanks by the airport. Pearson Auto, your dealership alternative.
Hey, why is this light on? I'm a goose watcher. I'm a goose watcher, watching those geese drop by. My, my, my. I'm a goose watcher. I'm a goose watcher. Here comes one now.
Springtime is Goose Watch time, and that means you can win $500 in cash for the guess of when the geese return to Kramer's Field, courtesy of Frontier Outfitters and Century Hardware. Enter your guess when the first flock of Canada geese arrives. It's Goose Watch 2026 at Frontier Outfitters in Govora Mall and Century Hardware in the North Pole Plaza Mall. If your guess is the closest to the official time and day, you win $500. Visit KFARradio.com or the store for details. Must be 18 or older. Be a goose watcher and win $500 in cash.
I'm a goose watcher. I'm a goose watcher. Here comes one now.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today, with daytime highs approaching one above. Winds out of the southeast around 5 miles per hour. Chance for snow tonight. Lows level off around 15 below. Overcast skies. Slight chance of snow tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 5 above. Cloudy skies expected. About an inch of snow tonight. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the studio here. And I have Craig Taylor calling in from Anchorage, running for governor. Thank you, sir. How you doing?
Doing great, David. Doing great.
Now, if you say, let's just project here and you become governor, do you still get to keep your law license?
Yes. Yes. I'm going to keep paying the Alaska Bar Association my dues and do the required upkeep of my education. Yeah, I keep my license, yeah.
You know, it seems like every week, if not every month, we get closer and closer and closer to the certainty of a gas line. Where are we at now with it?
Oh man, we're closer than ever. It's moving forward at a pretty quick pace. Probably not as fast as we'd like here in Alaska, but I think even the biggest detractors of that line, and I think they're detractors because, you know, we've been trying to do this for, what, 50 years up here to get this line through?
Yeah.
So they've heard this story before, and so even the detractors, I think, have to admit that we are closer than we've ever been on this Alaska gas line. And just for your listeners, I mean, this is a $40-plus billion project. It's going to require 5,000 workers for the 5-year construction period, and then an operational workforce thereafter of like 1,000 workers. So these are great paying jobs for Alaskans. And
staggering
so,
numbers, yeah.
Yeah, staggering. And then just throw in the other projects that we're looking at. But we're going to need to expand our workforce exponentially to swing it. And it's going to be great for Alaska families, man. These are really good paying jobs.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Craig Taylor, and your name is?
Hey, this is Tom Kennedy.
Tom Kennedy, what are you up to?
Hey, just kind of getting ready for the weekend. I work today, and then we'll have a good weekend.
Okay.
I have two questions.
Okay.
Is he willing to make a commitment to reduce all of the administrative bloat when it comes to things like redundant systems? Like a centralized curriculum for all the school districts. I think if they have just one centralized curriculum and eliminate all the other little departments of curriculum, they'll save, you know, close to $200 million, you know, with all the districts. That's question number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then question number two, is he willing to make a commitment to establish a law school and a medical school? You know, we have kind of semi-programs, but we don't really have an actual law school or a medical school. And, you know, he knows Cam Leonard, his son Riley, brain drain, out they go. You know, they get their law school degree in the lower 48 and they never come back. You know, all the kids that go off to those places don't come back. And we need to keep our Alaska resources.
Okay, I've only got a few minutes with Craig, so let's let him answer the questions, okay?
Sure.
Thanks, Tom Kennedy. Have a good morning.
Yeah, no, I believe there's quite a bit of reduction that we can make, more efficiency we can make in state government. We definitely need to reduce the bloat that is state government. And I think there's a lot of low-hanging fruit to do that. I think we've got a huge technology. We can lean into technology to do this. I think AI is a great place to start. Some of the ways that we can streamline government, make it more efficient, more responsive to the people. So I think we've got a long ways to go, and I'm excited for that opportunity to reduce the size of state government, make it more efficient, more responsive to the people. You know, I'm a small business owner, so I've been trapped in that bureaucracy on the business side of things. You know, we just to give you an example, we need a license transfer from a previous owner to us. Really, all they had to do was make sure we are who we say we are, that we weren't convicted felons, and that we had insurance, right? And it took an attorney, paid $40,000, and then almost 2 years to get that license transferred. And this is the kind of stuff that we can't have. We need to encourage business, because the more businesses we can encourage here, the better it is for Alaska families. The cost of living goes down. So lots of room for improvement on that. And then on the I would love to see us be more responsive to the needs of Alaska, is what Alaska businesses need, on the educational front, really streamlining our university system to provide the workforce that Alaska needs. I'd have to look into what the numbers are on the law schools and in the medical schools. I don't know if the population is there to support that kind of investment, but certainly an expansion of the programs and Alaska, helping these kids return and work. Cause, I mean, that's number one. I think when I talk to the average Alaskan, they want more than anything for their kids to have the same opportunities that they've had in Alaska or more. Mm-hmm. And we keep losing these young families and our kids to the lower 48, and we've got to reverse that trend.
You know, an idea would be expanding the WAMI and the WICHE programs.
Yeah.
And, you know, because those students who go through the program come back to their home state. And absolutely. So just one of those thoughts there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Boy. So the gas line is getting close.
Yeah, I'd love to talk a little bit more about that.
Go ahead.
I'm so bullish on this project. Maybe it's because
worked on it for 4 years.
Yeah, worked on it. So, I mean, but it's just been fun to watch. You know, after I stepped away, you know, I had to step down to run for governor, and so I'm not on the inside anymore. But just watching the news has just been amazing. Like the phase one, so it's broken up into two phases, right? Phase one, that's the in-state portion of the line. That's to provide relief for Alaskan families, cheaper energy, help bring the cost of living down. And then there's the phase two, which is the export of liquefied natural gas out of Kenai to mainly Asian buyers. And so our Asian allies that desperately need a good source of energy that they're not buying from their enemies.
From a communist country.
Yeah.
Or a terroristic state.
Yeah, so we had like a what I'd call a soft final investment decision back at the end of January. It was you know, just in time for the governor's state of the state. But anyway, we now know who's providing the steel for the project. That's POSCO. Man, they've agreed to purchase also LNG from the project. They've made a capital investment in the project. So that's the big thing that for me is all these people that are agreeing to offtake or be a part of this project that are also introducing capital and investment into the project. And then we all now know who there's the two major companies will take that steel and make the pipe. That's Corinth Pipeworks and Europipe. So these are two major manufacturers of pipe that have been involved in many of these pipeline projects. We now know who's supplying the gas, right? Exxon, Hilcorp, Pantheon. We know Conoco is close to entering in a letter of agreement to supply gas. So stay tuned for that. That'll probably happen over in the next couple weeks. And we know who's building the line. There's six companies that have been named, including joint ventures, one with Doyon and one with ASRC. So trying to provide that in-state knowledge base and in-state companies being part of that line. And then we've got the two major buyers of the in-state gas, NSTAR. They want a 30-year supply, and then Donlin Gold. And then, of course, important to Fairbanks is that Fairbanks spur line to help bring in that cheaper, reliable energy into Fairbanks and help reduce the cost for families there. But and then on the phase two of the project, the LNG, I mean, so we've seen, and I'll just be real brief on this one, but basically they want to export up to 20 million tons. That's their like the cloud in the skies type number, 20 million tons a year of LNG. They've already got announced buyers for 13 million tons of that, including the most recent one, which was Total Energies. And they're the largest U.S. exporter of LNG in the world. So basically, things are going great. In the federal filings that Glenn Fard made a couple weeks ago, they indicated they wanted to start building the construction of the pads and the lay down yards and the other infrastructure needed for the project in April, so next month. So we're going to start seeing some actual construction started next month on this project. I couldn't be more thrilled.
And at the same time, we retain 25% ownership.
Yes, we do. So, yeah, that's Alaska owns 25% of 8-Star, which is the operating operator of that gas line.
How I bet you that made you happy, you know, overseeing involvement in that. You know, how often do you get to bring the state into an ownership stake of a gas line that everyone's been talking about for 50 years?
Well, that whole model is under threat right now. There's legislators down there.
I know. God almighty.
Into state control. We had the forethought back in the day to make sure it was a standalone entity, that it couldn't be, that it was they're going to make these decisions based upon economics, and then they're going to get government out of this project. And that's why we stood up the Alaska Gas Line, right? So, and now that this deal is almost to fruition, there's legislators down there trying to pull this back into the state. And we know that the state's not going to be efficient at this process.
Not at all.
And we need to keep this project out in private hands and moving forward. And so that's a real threat. And that has a chilling effect. I'm sure they realize that down there, but when your investors are looking at this project and they hear what's going on in Juneau, that has a detrimental effect to people willing to invest in this project. And we desperately need this project as Alaskans, and we should be doing everything to push this forward. So anyway, call your legislator.
Well, some of our legislators are those people making this an issue. Sadly. So, hey, we got about a minute and a half left, sir. How do you want to end it?
Well, I'll just talk about, there's a lot of good candidates in this race. I'm really the only candidate with a proven record of fighting and winning behind Alaska. And I'm really the only candidate that's partnered with the Trump administration. We're going to have 2 years left of the Trump administration to move all these projects forward. I'm ready to go day one on the ground, working with them on all these issues. I don't have to learn anything as the next governor. Like I said, I've litigated most of these projects that we care about here in the state and all of the issues, whether it be federal overreach. I know what's going on. You know, I've advised the governor on what his rights and duties are and how he can change the state. So I'm familiar with the powers that the governor has to do things and get things done for Alaska. And I'm bullish on Alaska, man. We have so many amazing opportunities at our doorstep. I think the next 10 years are going to be a major boom for Alaska, and I'm so excited about that, to get these projects and this infrastructure built and get it across the finish line. And if people want to learn more about me, tregforak.com is my, and that's FORAK.com is my website. On Instagram, you can follow me on Treg Taylor AK, and then Facebook, it's just Treg Taylor. But really appreciate opportunity to talk to your listeners today, David, and all that you do for pushing forward Alaskan issues.
Treg, thank you so much. Please say hello to Jody for me. You two have a great weekend, and I really appreciate you being on the radio here with me, and we'll get you on a lot more, okay?
All right, sounds great. Appreciate it, David.
Take care, buddy.
Yep, bye-bye.
Fairbanks, it's the first half of the show. When we come back, I have the wonderful Olivia Rodriguez in the studio here with me. But I must put you through a few things first. From my purple padded room, you got to listen to some bumper music. I did not choose this for you. It's Paula Abdul, Cold Hearted. You know, what are they doing to me? But anyway, then we're going to have some Fox News, some state news, some weather, some commercials. And I guess the song that comes to mind with the weather is Baby, It's Cold Outside. We'll be back in a bit. We'll be right back.
Pendulum Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at
KFARradio.com. Central Command confirms all six crew members aboard an Air Force refueling plane died when it crashed in Iraq. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dan Kane, says the crash was not from hostile or friendly fire.
The incident occurred over friendly territory in western Iraq while the crew was on a combat mission.
The deaths bring the total number of U.S. troops lost in the Iran conflict to 13.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. In Michigan, praise for the security at a synagogue near Detroit where they fatally shot a man who drove his car inside where kids were in school.
If they had not all done their jobs almost perfectly, we would be talking about an immense tragedy here.
Democratic Senator Elise Slotkin and federal officials identified the attacker as a naturalized U.S. citizen from Lebanon. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska News Source reports when the pistol in 48-year-old Fairbanks rookie Jody Potts-Joseph's hand refused to fire at the wild bison her dog team encountered on the Iditarod Trail, she remembered the story her grandmother told her years ago. She told Iditarod Insider that her team was about 3 miles out of Eagle Village near the Canadian border when they came around a corner and saw the bison, which began to react aggressively. With her pistol clicking but not firing, Potts-Joseph said she had to make a quick choice. She said she hid behind some trees and started throwing sticks at the animal. It was then that she remembered a story her grandmother told her years ago. When they encountered a bear in the Alaska wilderness, her grandmother began speaking her native tongue, talking to the bear in the words from the Han Gwich'in people. She said it meant, "Go away, have mercy on us, leave us alone." And that bear just calmed down and turned around and walked off. So Tuesday afternoon on the trail, Potts-Joseph repeated those same words, and the buffalo turned around and ran up that hill. As of Thursday, Potts-Joseph was running 33rd in last place, but no dogs were hurt in the experience.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Handmade pet foods are made in America and were developed in Salcha, Alaska. Rob Downey is a former Salcha resident and a former limited North American champion. Rob spent over 20 years in Salcha, formulating many of Animate's diets. Each formula is derived from decades of research and includes help from a board-certified veterinary nutritionalist. All Animate formulas are fortified with sustainable omega-3 fatty acids and contain pre- and probiotics. It's all about healthy canine athletes. Handmade pet foods, proud to be 100% Alaska. Mountain View Eye Center is making a difference. Ebba is from the Congo. Her son moved to Alaska, bringing Ebba, who had become blind from untreated cataracts. They went to Mountain View Eye Center for cataract surgery, and for the first time in years, Ebba could see clearly. She told her son, "You are so handsome." And then, Ebba truly saw her granddaughter for the first time. Good things are happening. Visit MountainViewEyes.com.
Make Ivory Jack's part of your weekend plans. Gluten-free Thursdays. Friday night means prime rib perfection. Saturday, dig into mouth-watering baby back ribs. And Sunday, brunch done right. Grab your people. Enjoy the full bar selection or swing by the liquor store for a six-pack to go. And don't forget to snag some Ivory Jack's swag. Proud supporters of the dog mushing community, Ivory Jack's is excited to sponsor the 80th year of the Open North American. From start to finish, Ivory Jack's, where the parking is always gluten-free.
Gold is at an all-time high, and Gold Buyers of Alaska wants your gold and silver. Got gold nuggets, bullion, or jewelry collecting dust? Turn them into cash today. If you're looking to sell your gold, platinum, or even a Rolex, Gold Buyers of Alaska would love to talk to you. And coin collectors, they want to hear from you too. Call for an appointment at 907-479-4653 or stop by at 915 30th Avenue. You can trust Gold Buyers of Alaska and their incredible attention to detail.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Olivia Rodriguez in the studio with me here. How are you doing, Olivia?
Oh, I'm doing a little colder than usual, but great otherwise.
You and the rest of us.
I know. It's been a wild, wild winter here in Fairbanks.
I know. It's mid-Jan. It's mid-March.
I know.
And we're setting records for coldest days ever.
I have a really bad habit of once the light comes back, I start calling it spring.
Yeah.
And my mom is just like going up the wall because she's adamant that it's not spring yet. But the light's back. I feel like that is the hardest thing that we have to overcome.
It's a false front.
Yes, I know. Fool's spring, as they call it.
So you're the expert of downtown.
I try.
What's going on?
Oh, man, there is so much going on downtown right now. There are a bunch of new stores opening up. Just this last weekend, a new store opened up on Cushman Street called Candid Objects. It's right next to McCafferty's, the Mining Hall of Fame, and where Michiko's just moved. Have you heard of Candid Objects yet?
No.
Oh, man. It is Kelly and Danny opened it, and they focus on vintage clothing and supporting small businesses from around the world. But the kicker is their vintage clothing that they sell is all Fairbanks-based, and Kelly is really interested in the history of Fairbanks, and she's gone to estate sales of like business owners who have passed away and gotten like old merch from the Red Fox Bar and Grill and stuff.
Yeah.
So everything in there has a great story, and they just opened up, so I'm sure they would love to meet everyone. So instead of just driving down Cushman.
Yeah, they're boy, they're within half a block from my office.
Yeah, you better get over there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, I got blinders on, so that's why you're here. Just tell us, tell me what I'm missing so I can go see it.
Oh, man, I have a big list. But Candid Objects is for sure top of the list. My husband and I went there this weekend, and they have all sorts of perfumery, great food, too. Like, they have, like, gluten and vegan food
available.
Where's this at? Do you know where Michiko's just moved? On the corner of Cushman?
And yeah.
Yes. So they're right next door in the same building.
Okay.
So a perfect opportunity to go to McCafferty's, grab a coffee, make that very chilly walk up the block and pop in and see Kelly and Danny over there. And I'm especially proud of Kelly and Danny because back last year in September, the Downtown Association and I did a downtown property open house where we tried to get tenants into downtown by offering a rental incentive. And Kelly and Danny were one of the four new tenants in downtown that we were able to secure from that. So I think that's a great example of how you can invest in your downtown. And if you just support the people who want to be here, we have a chance at making downtown something really special.
And that rental incentive was by the Fairbanks Downtown Association.
It was.
It wasn't a government entity. That was free market.
Yes, and I think that is the best kind of incentive because the Downtown Association's entire mission is to support downtown. And instead of perhaps a city entity or a borough entity giving preferential treatment to downtown, it's a place where the private sector really stepped up. It's not taxpayer dollars. Mm-hmm. It's revenue that they've made from events like the Midnight Sun Festival and other projects that they have. So it's a great example of the community providing money to support what the free market would want.
We have another round of the Downtown Improvement Program that you were very responsible for.
It takes two to tango.
And we did. We tangled well on that.
We did.
But that's coming out again.
Yeah.
Any details?
Yes. So the Storefront Improvement Program is up and running again. I believe the application date is coming up, though. So if you're a downtown business owner, that's between, I think it's Cowles and Lacey, all the way down to 10th Avenue from the river.
Mm-hmm.
The city of Fairbanks
expanded it good.
Yeah, they did a great chunk because before it was kind of the downtown core, but now it's a little bit bigger. And hopefully, if it goes for a third year, it'll get a little bit bigger, too. So
the one I want to see is when they're done with it, and it'll be hopefully this fall, is the Lacey Street Building.
Yes.
Theater.
Oh, I'm so excited.
You know, they came in, and they're getting the maximum $50,000, but they're doing a $200,000 investment themselves.
Yes. I'm glad you brought up the dollar amount, too, because it is a $50,000 match, dollar
up,
for dollar,
up to.
Yeah. So if you have a project that might take $20,000, they'll match you half of it to get it up and running.
How do people apply for it?
It's on the City of Fairbanks website. I believe it's under, where is that? It's in the How Do I section on the City of Fairbanks website.
Okay.
Yes. And from last year's applications, there's going to be a lot happening downtown. You might have seen the Co-op Plaza got repainted. That was part of the Storefront Improvement Program. There's going to be a large mural on the Calista Bryce Building, which is that kind of L-shaped building that you see when you drive down Cushman. And then just upgraded signage on businesses like Lycan. And I think downtown's going to experience a little bit of a glow up this summer. Have you heard that term, a glow up?
No.
It's kind of like stepping into your own and shining brightly for everyone to see. So you learned something new today, a new term, glow up.
I don't think I'll be using that term.
Use it to Emily, and she might be surprised that you know it.
She'd look at me and say, where have you been?
Yeah, right. Who have you been talking to?
Yeah, who took your body?
Well, you can always say you learned a new term from me.
Okay.
The downtown rental incentive was so successful from our last year that the Downtown Association is actually doing a year-long rental incentive for the year of 2026.
Wow, okay.
So, I know.
Again, there's round two.
Yes, round two. And it comes from that idea of being able to support your downtown. And this time we're trying a couple of new things. So first of all, we're offering a $5,000 cash gift to any new up to two new restaurants that open up in the downtown core. So if you're a restaurateur listening and you've been thinking about opening up a restaurant, there's no better time to come see what's available downtown in the Downtown Association. Once you have that lease signed, they'll be able to give you a $5,000 gift, not a grant, mm-hmm. not a match, just a gift to get started.
Yep.
And then on top of that, they're also offering to pay your first month of rent, just like the fall one.
Mm-hmm.
But we have up to $25,000 available for that this year. So
that is great.
Yes, that could be up to, I mean, it could be at least five new stores downtown. There's a couple of stipulations, and you can find out more about that on the Downtown Association website. But overall, everyone seems to be looking at downtown. There's a lot of investment going into downtown. And I'm really happy to see the Downtown Association step up and start to actually put like funds towards supporting downtown too.
Wow. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. I have Liv Olivia Rodriguez in the studio with me here. If you have a question for her, we're at 907. We're going to take a phone call real fast.
Sounds good.
I was just doing a false hope to get a phone call.
That's okay. I'm ready.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Liv Rodriguez, and your name is?
Hi, this is Kaya. How are you guys doing?
Good, Kaya. How about yourself?
Oh, not bad. I just have a couple of recommendations for some people that might want to open up a restaurant. We could use a French restaurant, a German restaurant, and a Krispy Kreme factory right downtown. I don't know if you ever had a Krispy Kreme right hot off the press.
If there's no Krispy Kreme in Anchorage, we're not getting it in Fairbanks, but I so love how you think.
And Kaya. I love a good donut. We're trying to get Jason's up here.
Well, there is this loving a good donut.
Yeah, so good, so good.
Oh, what type of German food do you like, Kaya?
Three hours after you eat a Krispy Kreme, it's not a Krispy Kreme anymore. So, yeah. No, honestly, if you've ever had one hot off the press, you would put a fortress around it if anyone ever tried to remove it.
Wow. Wow, okay.
German food. Well, the German names, one's Königsberger Klops, which is a meatball with capers in it and a cream sauce and potatoes with dill. No, not dill, with something else in my mind. And then there's one called Rouladen, which is really thin slices of beef. And you roll it up with bacon and a slice of a pickle and an onion, put some toothpicks in it, and you braise it and cook it in the oven. And you make that with red cabbage. And, you know, there's lots of, the Wiener Schnitzel, all that kind of good stuff, too. And tons of dessert, real Black Forest cake, not the ones that you can find in Fairbanks.
Well, first of all, I like any cake.
Yeah. And where there's good
German food. Be it real or fake Black Forest cake.
And where there's
good, I am not picky, Kaya.
And where there's good German food, there's often good beer. So I would be there.
That would be the other thing.
It's all about the beer.
Yeah.
Beer.
Right. You guys have a great day.
You too, Kaya. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Irish St. Patrick's Day food. We'll be back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hey, it's Craig Campo inviting you to kick back with me by the campfire every Saturday for the Outdoor Show. We'll be talking about living the Alaskan outdoor dream with fascinating guests, even some favorite stories and memories from a lifetime spent on the trails and waterways, hunting, fishing, and camping across this great state. Join me, Craig Campo, for the Outdoor Show. Brought to you by Compos since 1945. Listen in Saturday afternoons at 12:30 p.m. for the Outdoor Show right here on KFAR Radio.
Craving a taste of Italy in the heart of Fairbanks? Head on down to Giraldo's Italian restaurant for a true family night out. Every Tuesday night, kids eat free with a delicious serving of spaghetti, just like Nona makes. And with a full kids' menu packed with tasty options, there's something for every little taste bud. So gather the whole crew for a fun, stress-free night out at Giraldo's, where the food is fresh, the atmosphere is warm, and the kids are always smiling.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need, but they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center, call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. findoutfree.com.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereaton, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereaton, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Frontier Outfitters. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Highs around 1 above this afternoon under mainly cloudy skies. Winds out of the south around 5 miles per hour. Chance of snow tonight 15 below. Slight chance of snow tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 5 above. Overcast skies. About an inch of snow tonight. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. And if you want to listen to a little bit of food for St. Patrick's Day, listen to my Fairbanks Foodies tomorrow, 1 o'clock. You know, I give a history of St. Patrick's Day, a little bit about everything about it, but I'm very honest. I really don't like Irish food. I'm one quarter Irish, but I gave great aspects on how to make a beer braised a beer braised brisket for corned beef, all that fun stuff. But with all that in mind, Olivia just gave me the best thought.
It came through from her mom. It came from my mom.
Passed down.
Yes, to generations.
On Tuesday, I'm going to go have a Reuben.
Yes, a Reuben.
a Reuben sandwich.
It has everything you need.
Yeah. It'll make me feel, yes, I am celebrating this day. A good Reuben sandwich.
Exactly. And if you like Reubens, I just had the opportunity to try the Reubenator from Hungry Robot. And it was amazing. That was also a gift from my mom, so thank you, Mom. But the Reubenator from Hungry Robot, so good. And another fantastic local business that could use our support.
Any St. Patrick events going on, or restaurants or bars or anything like that?
I would imagine there's something going on with the Big Eye.
You know, this is the way I explain it. I don't care how you identify in life. On Tuesday, everyone's Irish.
Fair enough.
You know, I'm quarter Irish, but anyone who wants to be the right attitude, you can identify as being Irish. No one's going to dispute you.
And their culture is so amazing. I have a really good friend named Katie who's Irish, and she can trace her last name through generations into one of the original tribes up there. But they're very in tune with their culture, and I think that is such a neat thing. So it's neat that St. Patrick's Day is open to so many people to celebrate that too.
Mm-hmm. You know, St. Patrick's Day, St. Patrick was started by, he was a Briton. Mm. Protestant Briton, and he was captured by Irish pirates and brought over to Ireland and held in slavery for 5-6 years. And he escaped, and he went back to Britain, became Catholic, and came back as a Catholic bishop. And that's how it all started for Catholicism on Ireland.
I've never heard that story before, and I went to a Catholic school.
If you listen to my Fairbanks Foodies tomorrow, you'll hear that.
At 1 o'clock, right?
1 o'clock.
Okay, I'll tune in.
KFARradio.com. we live stream, so anyway. What else is going on downtown?
Oh, we have some new businesses, too. Beyond the Mirror is a new salon that opened up on First Avenue, and if you've ever been inside, it looks amazing in there. They did a great job with the remodel. And then if you haven't had a chance to go to Gather over on 3rd Avenue on the other side of Barnett, they actually have micro businesses in there. Mm-hmm. So there's a new bookstore called Solstice Books. There's kind of a spiritual shop called Alaskan Mystic Wonders. Little Owl has a location over there, and they do art shows for First Friday. So that is a brand new spot. That is very, very cool.
Ready for a phone call?
I'm ready.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Liv Rodriguez, and your name is?
Randy.
Randy, what are you up to?
Well, since you have Miss Rodriguez there, and she's in...
Excuse me, the Miss Rodriguez.
Miss Rodriguez, and since she's involved in downtown. About the old Polaris building site, you know, there's kind of a debate going on as to whether we should immediately get some business proposals of what kind of building or whatever they want to put in there, or hold off on that just to solicit ideas for something else, I guess, maybe a statue or something like the Golden Heart First Family statue or something, or a giant bronze of a giant snowflake or whatever. But do you have ideas regarding that that route of soliciting ideas for something else that's there, or what? What do you think?
Yes. Oh, thank you so much for asking, because I think the Polaris site is a really, really important site in our downtown, and it has been under discussion for a very, very long time. I'm a big believer in the free market. You know, David and I were just kind of talking about what private entities are able to do for our downtown. And I think that for the RFP or RFI, you should leave it as open as you can to see what the developers come, take everything into consideration, see what we like most, and then maybe re-engage those developers to kind of highlight or emphasize certain areas that we wanted to see. But I think that leaving it as open as we can is best, because that's how we cast the widest net, the widest variety of options. And if you leave it open, we'll get the submissions for a statue, we'll get the submissions for a high-rise building, we'll get everything in between.
If it's economically viable.
If it's economically viable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that the biggest mistake is when people put too many constraints on it, it becomes not economically viable because it's not possible to fund it. And ultimately, it's going to be a developer who is funding it, and they have to be sound in their financing, and they wouldn't spend money on something that wouldn't pencil out. That being said, once we do get those proposals in, I think that we could look at all of them together and see what we like most, and maybe re-engage one of those developers to bring in some of the ideas that we got from other folks too.
You know, it's interesting how, hold on a second, had to cough there, sorry Fairbanks, but there's a bicker between the mayor and the city council on whether to send it out now or wait 2 months. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying to myself, hold it, Mayor O'Neill, you want to wait 2 months and have more outreach. Yet since you've been mayor, you've not had one item of outreach on this to what you call the different groups that might be interested. You've not had it yet, so why wait another 2 months if you haven't done it already? Just my thought.
Yeah, that's a good point too. And also, the Polaris site has been such an important place for us to look and focus that since I've moved back to Fairbanks, we've been talking about it, and that's been 5 years, but I know it's been a much, much, much longer conversation.
I spent 10 years on it.
Yes.
and the whole premise was we had everyone involved. We had all the actors. We had the Downtown Association. We had Fast Planning. We had Explore Fairbanks. We have had the Chamber of Commerce. Everyone's been in there for 10 years putting together the ideas on what should go downtown, what we have to do downtown. Everyone has hold hands saying kumbaya about this, and we got it knocked down. Let the market take its course.
Mm-hmm.
Put it out there. If you don't like what comes in, or if someone has an idea and they need more time, okay, give them more time, postpone it for a month or two.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But get it out there. That way everyone can start taking a look at it and saying, oh, okay, this, you know, or you might want to revise it. Before anything comes in, you can revise it.
And seeing what pencils out, really, because if a developer is looking at it and they say they can only do 5 stories, but in our RFI, we say that needs to be a 7-story one, that immediately would scratch that out.
Yeah.
And then we're at risk of losing good ideas because of too much constraint.
True.
Good question, Randy. Thank you.
Thank you, Randy. Knock that off. You have a good weekend. Stay warm. Anyway,
Yeah, there is a lot going on. And speaking of RFIs, if folks have been paying attention to some downtown news, you might have noticed that or heard that the Yukon Quest is no longer going to be in the log cabin on the river next to Golden Heart Plaza.
Yeah.
So they've moved in the co-op building, and I actually think that the new space that they're in is much better for them. It's a little bit smaller, but also it faces the street too, so they'll get a good amount of foot traffic down there. But the log cabin just might have been a little bit big for their operation. And while the cabin itself was open year-round, they're kind of a more seasonal project. Mm-hmm. So there is an RFI that's been opened at the city of Fairbanks. And for those that don't know, an RFI is a request for information. So as opposed to an RFP, which is a request for proposal, an RFI is a little bit looser, and it's just simply asking for information about your project or what you would propose to go there. So if anyone listening has any ideas about a business that they would like to run out of the log cabin downtown, you can find that RFI on the city of Fairbanks website. Admittedly, is a little bit hard to find, but just poke around a little bit there, or even just look up RFI in the search bar, and you'll see what they're looking for. But that is a really exciting thing, because I feel like if you activate the cabin at Golden Heart Plaza, mm-hmm. Golden Heart Plaza itself will be a little bit more activated too. And I'm planning on doing the downtown market again in the plaza. So you'll see me downtown the third Thursday of May, June, July, and August. So come say hi. And that's May 21st. June 18th, which is right before the Midnight Sun Festival, on June 20th, July 16th, and August 20th from 4 to 8 p.m. in Golden Heart Plaza. And we have live music, we have vendors, we have food trucks, and we do a scavenger hunt. So when you come to the market, you'll get a card, and the goal is to go on foot to other local businesses, get your stamp, experience some of the new stuff that's going on downtown, or just something that has been there for a long time, but you've just been so used to driving by it, you've never popped in. It's a great way to experience downtown. And then you can also see just how walkable our downtown is. I remember last year, there was one, we had McCafferty's on our stamp, and someone walked from Golden Heart Plaza to McCafferty's. And she came back and said, I never realized how close they were, because mm-hmm. I just drive it every day. I never walk it. And so now she came back to the next market and said, you know what? I walked over here.
Now, I'm going to tell you how my sick feeling.
Okay, I'm ready.
Tuesday is St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
Every Monday, every day after St. Patrick's Day, I'd walk to my office mm-hmm. about 7:30 a.m., mm-hmm. and I'd see how many cars were parked at Big Eye, who made the right decision.
Yes, I was going to say, you know, yeah. better than drinking
and
driving.
And I'd give my brother Dana a call in anger. Hey, guess what? We got about 8 cars this morning. Yeah, it's our annual discussion on day after St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, my goodness. That
walking, but walking.
Walking. Yeah. And I think that's I'm happy that the downtown has been able to be relatively clear on the sidewalks, although I've heard of a couple of nasty falls that people have had. A friend of mine fell on a downtown street and broke her wrist.
Oh!
I know! And then one of my mom's friends did the same thing, but I think it was her ankle. So it is a little bit slippery out there. So if you are walking around our beautiful downtown, just watch your step.
Well, we have about a minute and a half left. What are you doing this weekend?
Ooh, this weekend. We have a friend who just moved to Fairbanks from Florida. Mm-hmm. So he moved up here to be a nurse at FMH. So we've been driving him to all the different neighborhoods to talk about because each neighborhood in Fairbanks has such a good personality.
Yeah.
And they're very different.
They are.
Extremely different. Yeah. So he's staying
Any Fairbankson.
Exactly. He's staying with us in our downtown home. So we've already done the north side of Fairbanks. I think this weekend we're going to show him the south side of Fairbanks, so the neighborhoods down mm-hmm. there, because he's looking for an apartment. So that's another great young person moving to Fairbanks.
There is so much opportunity coming into the Fairbanks area over the next 6 years with the gas line, the Ambler Road project. The downtown is going to start looking significantly different little by little, bit by bit. Hopefully the starter block gets out of the blocks.
Yes.
And Liv, thank you very much for being on Problem Corner here with us. I'm going to get you on here probably once a month for the just what we're doing downtown. And also, Fairbanks, she's going to start learning how to run the mic for when I travel. She's going to be a guest host. She has a wonderful radio voice. Fairbanks, that is our show for today. I hope you have a great weekend, and I will see you on Monday.